Carm Capriotto here. Hey, you know, every business owner needs to evolve, to become better, and to keep the business afloat and relevant. Marianne Croce is here to share some very good insights for new business owners.
A person who is starting out in business has different challenges than someone who has been in business and is now building a team, or they're scaling their business because they want that business independent from themselves. They don't have to be there every day anymore.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey friends, Carm Capriotto here, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. You know, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020. Write that down and discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. I'll be there, and I hope to see you. Enrollment is going on right now. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Hey, don't forget that listening to the podcast is free, on demand, and available anywhere in the world. If you've not subscribed to a favorite podcast listening app, then go to your app store, search, and download, because mobile is it. Hey, find the show notes for this episode with Marianne Croce at remarkableresults.biz/E449. Hey, would you like some advice on starting a business? What if you could apply this advice to your established business? With me is Marianne Croce from smallbizvantage.com. She and her husband, Tony, also own Croce Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut. As a business owner, Marianne can chalk up many a mistake that has turned into wisdom. She's been there and done that and shares five key principles to help a startup business person get ahead in the game. She is speaking to resilience, commitment, getting help, being curious, and giving. Get the details in 10 seconds. Learn why messaging, relationships, and financials are vital no matter what stage you or your business is currently in. And don't believe you need to go it alone. Hey, a warm welcome to Marianne Croce from Croce Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut. Hello, Marianne.
Hello. Glad to be here.
And I'm glad you are here. You've been a great contributor to the show. Always when you come on, you always bring some great wisdom. You're also own company, smallbizvantage.com. And I happen to subscribe to your newsletter. And I love it when I get it each and every week. There was one that really hit me. It was called, What Advice Would You Give a New Business Owner? I don't know about you, Marianne, but I hear an awful lot inside of our industry about young technicians who want to become business owners. It's great. We need to find the new blood, if you will, in our industry. And there are an awful lot of people we need to get to take the leap to become business owners. And even if not into a succession plan, into the current place that they're working. It's no doubt very exciting for someone to think, wow, I'm going to be a business owner, an entrepreneur, quote, quote, quote. Why do I want to do this? Well, you hear a lot of crazy reasons. Some of them is that I want to make all that money.
They're looking at it from the worker, the technician, and then they're thinking with that mindset that the owner is making so much money, that they're the ones that are doing all the work in the business. And then when they switch hats and they become an owner, they find out that there's a lot more to it than what they thought. And I call it a reality check. That's what happens to them.
You're right. There's a mountain, almost Everest-like, to climb, if you will. Knowledge steps along the way. The school of hard knocks. And there's so much today regarding the, you know, paying it forward and the wisdom that we can obtain. And all I care about is that anyone who wants to start in business in the automotive aftermarket is they learn from newsletters like yours, companies like yours, coaches like you are, and the podcasts that we put out in the industry. So I figured it was time that we just talked about advice for new business owners. And you had five great pieces of advice. And I want to share them with the audience. And then we're going to go back and talk about each of them individually. Number one was your resilience to be tested. Wow, that's cool. Take a stand. Ask for help. Number four, have an I'm curious mindset. And number five, share and give. And that's what we do here on the podcast. So let's jump in it. Your resilience will be tested. Help me understand that.
Your resilience will be tested in a number of ways. It's easy to be an owner when everything is going smooth. You're having a great week, wonderful customers are coming in, everything just goes great. But the reality is the world is not like that. We will have challenges all the time. And you need to become thick-skinned. And what I mean by that is don't lose your empathy for people. Don't lose your sense of kindness, but you don't want to take things personally. You can feel very, very isolated as a business owner. A lot of times, friends and families that are not business owners themselves won't understand what you're doing or why are you spending so much time there? Why are you working so hard? And in your mind, you're creating something, you're building something as a brand new business owner. So you can have that feeling of isolation. And when you feel that way, it's easy to take things personally. So pushing through when you have those challenges is when you see that your resilience will be tested.
You know, you're so right. And just think about the effort it takes to work year after year at that pace, at that rate, at that energy level. And, you know, people look at you and say, are you crazy? You haven't gone anywhere. You haven't taken a vacation. You haven't done anything. And I think you're right to a point where people don't understand what that drive is all about. But there's a point in time, and I think this is why we're here talking about this, that you have to stop. And then you make a serious commitment to go to what is called the next level. Don't know what the hell that is, but we all have to figure out, you know, how we can delegate more. And I know you're going to talk about that in a minute, you know, how we ultimately, and even your success story was you had to stop and say, listen, I can't do all this. You're a great person to demonstrate how you were in a spiral.
Yes. What happens a lot of times is people go in this industry, I have to say there is no lack of work ethic. And definitely there are so many great people out there. But what happens, what we don't realize when we start out and we're doing everything on ourselves and just what you were alluding to, the long hours that we're putting in because we're willing to do the work, whatever it takes. What happens is we actually create habits and routines that don't best serve the business. And we get caught up in that. And that's what leads to that burnout, that way of operating our business, that way of thinking, our mindset, that it's not sustainable. So we do have to make that change. And sometimes people get, you know, it happens a lot that people get stuck in that way of looking at their business because they've been doing it that way for so long. So that's why your resilience will be tested is one of the first things that I discuss with small business owners.
That surely tests the individual's, you know, conviction, integrity, everything that they decided to make this big decision. And I bet you if you ask them deep down inside, are you having any serious, really good fun? It ends up becoming almost more of a burden. And I think that's your point. Your resilience will be tested. And you could go toward that, I'm going to have a heart attack zone because you're carrying this weight of all the pressure of growing your business. And wow, you're working so many hours, you must be doing so well deep down inside. And that's where this whole thing of humility comes in and asking for help comes in. And the upside the head, I don't know what I don't know, comes in.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad we're talking about this because this is almost like if we were with a group and I was the young guy that says, I'm going to start a shop, I'm going to do my own, and I'm with some true veterans of this industry. I know one thing that will happen is they won't say, you're crazy, don't get in this business. The true veterans will say, great, but don't do what I did. Don't be so crazy as to work 10 years, not make a dime for these last 10 years, put in all this money that you made, and what do you have to show for it after 10 years? I'd be more than happy, the veterans will say, to talk to you about what's around the next corner. That's, to me, one of the biggest secrets, and I think why this industry is really turning on, it's turning its tide. There's so many more, and I've interviewed so many young millennials, Marianne, that got it. They figured it out. They hired a coach right away. They went to networking training, AMI, 20 groups. They started to realize that it was just too important not to become super successful as early as they possibly could.
When I speak with clients, one of the things that we discuss is when they look at what they want, what their desire is, when we break it down, people want to have a healthy business. That's what they really are looking for. And when we talk about it, what really is a healthy business? A healthy business is one that's profitable. It's one that's sustainable. And it's also one that's enjoyable. And that's the piece that we forget sometimes. So if you don't really enjoy what you're doing anymore, and you're getting caught up in focusing on things that aren't serving your business, or at your stage of business, you should be focusing on certain activities that are serving your business, but you're getting distracted by a lot of what other people are doing at that time, then you find out that what's happening, I'm losing that drive, I'm losing that fun, you know, loving to go in, loving to make a difference, serve my community. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that a healthy business is one that is, yes, profitable. It's also sustainable. And we can't sustain a business where we are burning ourselves out or we're trying to do everything ourselves. Asking for help is huge. Having a team, and it doesn't have to be a huge team. You don't start out with that a lot of times. You start off with, you know, getting advice from others. It could be a coach. It could be a mentor. It could be your accountant, your advisor, a lot of different things. But then when you're ready and you reach that point, then it's time to go into building.
So be open, listen, assess, determine the advice that you get and how it works for you, and never say never, and don't say no, and try new and different things. Well, great. Your resilience will be tested, number one. I love it. Now, number two is take a stand. How's that work?
This really speaks to your core values. Know what your core values are, and once you do know what your core values are, it's easy to take a stand on the type of customer that you want, the type of team member that you want. I'm going to use the example, if one of your core values is family. Family is very important to you. And you have something come up with family, and for that day, you're not going to be in the shop, or you have to leave. That's one of your core values. And make sure that your customers are going to be taken care of. But if one of your team members was in that same situation, and they had to leave for their child, if your first reaction to that team member is, okay, I understand, keep me posted, I'd like to know what's going on, don't worry about it, we have everything covered here. That shows that you're standing up for your core values. They're not just only for you, but if your first reaction is to say to that team member, you have to leave now, when are you going to be back? Or, you know, how am I going to get the workout? Then you're not truly living by example your core values. They have to work for not just you. They have to work for your team, your customers. You need to be an example every day and see how your core values show up. That's a true sense of standing up for those core values.
Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the Napa Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the Napa brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize Napa and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the Napa colors and distinctive Napa signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and Napa are partners. Most importantly, ProImage really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped Napa Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a ProImage project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. ProImage upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A ProImage interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a ProImage exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the Napa Auto Care members site and clicking on the Napa ProImage link under the Napa ProImage tab. Or contact your local Napa Auto Parts store. Your servicing Napa store can tell you more about ProImage, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. I hear a lot, so many interviews that I've done where, hey, we've got your back. Do whatever you have to do. Family first. And God, those are shops that, you know, you'd want to work at. And from a technician's perspective or a service writer's perspective that you're going to interview for a place, ask to see their core values. Ask to see it. And then when you go into the one-on-one interviews with the team, if they're doing it right, you're going to have a team interview. Ask them, does the company believe and play in their core values? And if not, it's just a poster on the wall.
It's easy, like you said, to put a poster on a wall and tell people what your core values are. In our shop, we have a saying that is up. And even when I interview people, I see what their reaction is to it. And I ask them to give me an example of how that would play out in the day. But we are an example of professionalism for our team, our customers, our community, and the automotive repair industry. That's what we have written in our shop. And it's so simple and easy to remember, and everyone can follow it. It's not like this deep, you know, thinking paragraph. But the idea is, when you go to make a decision, you think to yourself, whatever your role is in that company, is this an example of professionalism? So if a customer were to come in and they were upset and, you know, their level, energy level is way up here, whoever's helping that customer, if their level, their energy level was up here, it's not an example of professionalism. But if your energy level is there and it's to help the customer and explain, all of a sudden you start to notice that their energy level goes down and they realize that you're there to help them. It could be a situation where a vehicle won't be ready and you may have to call that customer up and put them in a loaner or a rental, and or it could be a warranty issue. So going and saying to someone, well, you know, my job is to fix the vehicle and that's it, that's where it stops, is not really an example of professionalism. But understanding that that customer has places to be, and now they're out of a vehicle for an extra day, and accommodating them is being an example of professionalism. So once everyone knows that, even if I'm not in the shop, if I'm away at a conference, if I'm working with clients on the Small Biz Vantage business and I'm not in the shop that day, I know that they have the tools and they'll be able to make those decisions to best serve our customers. So that's what I mean by living it.
You just described to me empathy. What a core value that would be. Empathy for each other, empathy for the customer. It's very simple, one single sentence piece, you know, value statement. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed in my career in business is that you can always praise toward the values when someone did things right, and you could always coach if things weren't going according to the values of the company. So it's so crystal clear where that company is going, vision, mission. But I also think the value set is just as important, because that really helps you guide your people. And think about, you know, the marketing that you do that reflects those core values. Think of, you know, when you're looking to hire someone and they don't fit into the core, if you made a mistake and they don't fit into the core values, you'll get a gang fire. I mean, the rest of the team will come up just to say, hey, this isn't going to fit. It's not going to work. Very competent individual. Wow, smart. but our business is going to change if this person sticks around. It's happened to me before.
It really does make all your business decisions much easier when you have those core values. And what you spoke of, mission, vision, and purpose, those are all things that we need in our business. But many business owners, when they start out, because that's the topic that we're, you know, discussing today, it's difficult to have that vision, that long-term vision, because many of them, when they're starting out, will want customers. They'll just want a business that is providing an income from them, for them. So to look out years down the road, that's hard. But I always tell people, why don't we start with your core values first? Because that's very easy. We know what they are, and people can easily, you know, write them out and start talking about them. So once you start there, I find that the rest flows.
So how do you start? You sit down with a client and say, okay, tell me what you believe in.
Well, when we discuss their business and their challenge that they have at the moment, a lot of times when they're thinking about where they are, because that's the thing with coaching, you want to meet the person exactly where they are, where they're at. A person who is starting out in business has different challenges than someone who is been in business and is now building a team, or they're scaling their business because they want that business independent from themselves. They don't have to be there every day anymore. So you want to meet the people exactly where they're at. And a lot of times what I find is people really didn't go in and look at their mission, their vision, and their purpose. A lot of times they're marketing to everyone. They really don't have a handle on who their ideal client is. So a lot of times when you talk to everyone, you're really talking to no one. When you say everybody that owns a vehicle, or anybody that owns a vehicle is my customer, because they all need maintenance or they all need repair. The challenge with that is I don't think of myself as anybody. I think of myself as somebody. So most people don't think of themselves as just anybody. So when you're marketing to them, they want to read and see that you're talking directly to them.
What I'm hearing you say is the word refinement, and let me explain what I mean. I see you shaking your head. It's like, you're right, day one, all the children are mine. Come on in. We need the revenue, right? But slowly, as you determine, you know, where you're going and how you're getting there, you need to refine, as you're saying, who your ideal customer is. And I still think you need to start with a core value set on day one. But trust me, I'm not sure that everyone would feel that that would be on top of their list. But to me, it shouldn't be long after the business gets open and underway that the values get defined.
To your point, I agree with you 100%. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. But looking back in retrospect, that's something that should have been done. And I think the reason why that happens is most business owners that open up shops, right, shop owners, started out as technicians. They are the doers. Okay, they're tactical people. They want to do things right. But when you're a business owner, there's a lot of strategy that's involved. And a lot of times they're not thinking strategically because that's not what they've done in the past. And strategically is really simple. It's doing the right things, the things that you need to be focusing on at that moment. So to your point, sitting down and strategically thinking about what are my core values? What am I going to take a stand on? If you have a customer that is not your ideal customer, sometimes we find that we are taking on jobs that we shouldn't because we're new in business, or we're dealing with customers or clients that we really shouldn't be. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. In the end, it wasn't enjoyable. The job wasn't even profitable. And we look back, and what we didn't do is take a stand. We didn't realize that that wasn't our ideal client. And then going forward, we learn from that. because it leaves room, time, and effort for the jobs and the people that we should be working with.
Great. You know, we can go on for 2 hours on values and taking a stand, but thank you so much for that. It really helped clarify some things for me. Your third step, ask for help.
Absolutely. And there are lots of ways that you can learn and ask for help inside the industry and outside of the industry, in local groups that you belong to, you know, in your own community. There are lots of ways. Building relationships is key. And I think a lot of times when we start out in business, we're working so hard on the business, or I should say in the business, doing what we have to do every day, that this is something that we overlook. Building relationships with your vendors, your suppliers, building relationships with other business owners within the industry or in your local community is so valuable, because there are opportunities that will happen that you can't see right away when you open, but they're there. And they will happen. And those relationships will really help you grow personally and professionally. The idea here is we all have blind spots, things, skill sets that we're not aware of, skill sets that, you know, aren't our strong point. So by asking for help, it really does help you understand and see that. Also, when you're ready to add team members, it's really good to add team members that have a different skill set than you do.
You know, I so firmly believe that a great success story of many CEOs is that they hire people that are smarter than them and that they can do things that they can't. And somebody said, well, I'll never hire somebody unless I really know how to do this. And then now I'll know if they're, you know, being held accountable. You don't necessarily have to know every ounce of detail. And, you know, I think part of what I heard you say there is because you need to ask for help, you have to recognize something. Is that you were never, just because you decided to put money down and get the keys and pay the rent and say, hey, I'm, you know, get the federal ID, now you're in business, and you just weren't automatically anointed as the all-knowing, all-seeing, you know, perfect business person. And that's what we have, what I have found, you know, over 500 episodes, is the guy said, man, I just wished I would have gotten out of my own way and found my humility and asked for help. And I know that you love that coach, the trainer, the mentor, the accountability buddies thing where, you know, build that team around me and say, I know, I don't know enough about that. Tell me about it. It's okay to say you don't know. Even if you do, you know, I always heard a great story that CEOs ask questions they know answers to. They also ask questions they don't know answers to. And it's so important to ask and to learn from it. Not believe that what you heard is gospel, but add it to now what you know, and then formulate it yourself, stealing ideas from people. There aren't any new ideas made. They're just rehashed, reformulated from people who, oh, it's a great idea, but you know what I like? Here's how that idea works inside my business. Now you got something new, and you're moving your business forward.
Exactly. You make it your own and make it work in your business. And you know, when you're starting out, a lot of times people don't think of a team right away. But when you outsource, you can outsource a lot of the things that you were talking about, because we're responsible for all of these different areas of our business. And as a technician, which many of them started out as, they were responsible for the productivity, right? The efficiency of how they worked. The vehicle came in and their responsibility was getting that vehicle done, getting that vehicle out and getting it back on the road again. And then they know everything that they need. But when someone puts that hat on as the business owner, now they realize they're responsible for so much more. And it can be intimidating. Even though they're not actually doing that job, they're still responsible for it.
You know, what I just realized that what I just said kind of lends itself into your point four is have an I'm curious mindset. Love that.
The reason why I call it an I'm curious mindset is when you're looking and you're open-minded to new ideas, to trends, to things that are happening in the industry, what happens is you're not standing your feet where you're not going to move. You're rigid and you're not open-minded. And I find that sometimes we can be operating for a long time and we can become really fixed and not look at things with an open mind. So that I'm curious mindset is when someone does something, well, what led you to that decision or what led you to that diagnosis? And then you get a whole different answer to maybe what you were thinking. So that I'm curious mindset is having that real open way of looking at things and willingness to learn, willingness to grow. I don't know it all, right? No one does. I love, you know, the theme of your podcast. We're all here learning something new every day. It's something I live by. You know, whether you're a little kid or you're in your 90s, we all can learn something new every day. And that I'm curious mindset is definitely what it also helps you with is we don't get stuck in a real negative flow where we start whining, complaining, and blaming others. When you have that I'm curious mindset, you stay out of the negative. And even when things happen that didn't go your way, or you have a bad day, you look back and you reflect on it and you say, okay, what happened that led to that? Let's figure it out.
Excellent. I call that being a perpetual student. And, you know, I don't know, that hit me probably 25 years ago when I started to realize I had this insatiable desire to learn something new each and every day. And when I didn't, and I put my head on the pillow at night, you know, it was like my day wasn't complete. And I say, well, what is it that drives me? And that is because I'm a perpetual student. I always want to learn something new. You know, I am curious. And when I saw that, I have a curious mindset. I could so relate to that, number four. Now, your fifth and final point, share and give. Do you have to be at a certain level of success in order to share and give?
No, not at all. It could be, you know, locally, it could be at an industry event. You're sitting next to someone and they're having a challenge or they're asking a question and it's something that you have dealt with and your lesson learned, your takeaway. Everyone has something to offer. You can be a brand new business, but your skill sets are very different than the person that's sitting next to you. So you can help each other and you can share and give. And you don't have to have an agenda. You just do this because you want to build those relationships. You want to better the industry. You want to be a resource to your community. So for me, that sharing and giving is so important. And the funny thing is you learn so much about yourself when you do that as well.
I love what you just said, Marianne, because more than not lately in some panels that I moderate around the country, there's more millennials on those panels. And think about it. You know, the 30-somethings that have decided to start a business that are doing some great things, and they're being asked to share those great things. So we don't necessarily have to have the wisdom of our 55-year-old shop owner or 60-year-old shop on a panel saying, well, you know, son, you know, I've been doing this my whole life. And no, it's that young, vibrant, and they're willing to share. And so I love that part. And it doesn't matter if you're brand new in business and you could go to a local event and share everything that you do about your business, as you said, Community Rotary and the likes of all the community-sponsored programs, the chambers and the BNI groups. Just get involved. Be part of that stuff. And that builds confidence in being able to give and share.
You realize you're not alone. You know, you have something to offer. And to your point with the millennials, what I've known is having millennial age children is that, and you know, their friends, they are a very giving group. When technology came about with, you know, everything, they were the ones that helped my parents. Very, very giving. you know, no problem. I'll show you how to use your new iPhone. I'll show you how to do. So they do take what they know, and they're very, we've had technicians in our shop that are millennials and very willing to help others with the technology that has come out.
So some other great advice that you could give anyone who's just starting, I guess, if we get too deep in it and, you know, we're just feel like we're, you know, like Spider-Man, we're stuck up against the wall and we just can't move. You gotta look and figure out how to recharge, right?
You do. You need to realize that your business is part of your life, but it's not your entire life. And that's hard in the beginning for a business owner because they're spending so much time there. But we don't want to lose sight of ourselves as people. We don't want to lose sight of the family, friends, you know, connections that we have. We do want to have, you know, a life outside of it. But for me, that was something that I had to learn because I was definitely, you know, burning myself out trying to do it all. And for me, I had to realize that I had to delegate. I had to outsource. I had to allow other people to do things. And the funny thing was, is once I realized that in my own business, I actually very organically was able to gain control of more of my business because I wasn't so stuck in the day-to-day. I was able to step back, you know, revisit what I wanted in our business, and I was able to actually take a break and recharge. And what it also did was it gave my team really a sense of me believing in them, having confidence in them, and they rose to the occasion. So for me, that recharging was something that I really needed to do to take a good look at my business.
That's a great point. Hey, boss, look at me. I can do this. You can go and, you know, and let me shine. Let me show you.
Because sometimes we need to leave our business as an owner. And I think a lot of new business owners may not think of this right away, but it's not necessarily because we want to, which is very healthy. I want to take the family on a vacation. I just need to get away for a few days. That's fine. But there's also situations where we need to leave our business. It could be a health issue. We could be helping a parent, an aging parent, and we need to. So it's not always just wanting to get away for a few days, but it's also needing to. And knowing that you are putting people in place, systems in place, you're outsourcing things, and you're starting to look at your business as a separate entity from you is really one of the first steps to creating a healthy business, as we discussed.
That's the second time in 2 weeks someone has mentioned the word entity. Jerry Kazaya was on Tunnel Academy as we were talking about $100,000 paycheck for our techs today, and he made a point that your business is an entity. Treat it like one. Okay, Marianne, great stuff. Now, tell me about the stages of business, and we're moving from a mindset of I'm a tech, now I'm an owner, and how do I become a full-fledged, in it, I know what I'm doing, owner? How do I evolve?
When you make that switch from the technician to the owner, you're responsible for so much. But as your business grows and you go into different stages of your business, there's something that every owner is always going to be keeping in mind, that they're always going to be working on. And there's three things, no matter if you're starting out or you've been in business for years and you have a team or you're a multi-shop owner, doesn't matter. These three things are really what drives the owner, their role. And the first is messaging. You want to make sure that your voice and your messaging is right for your business. That's something that you will always be working on and evolving. The second is your relationships. The relationships that you make, how you nurture those relationships. You will find that very, very valuable. And lastly, you have to know the financials of your business as the owner. Now, you may be outsourcing a lot of these things as you grow and develop your business. But as an owner, you have to always be focusing, checking in with your team, checking in if you're outsourcing it, and always be working on those items.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much. Mary Ann Croce from Croce's Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut, and from smallbizvantage.com, business coach and consultant and advisor. And thanks for sending me this great email. Again, I get your newsletter each and every week, and I was just moved by it. And thank you for coming in and giving us a little deeper lesson on it.
Well, it was a pleasure, as always, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.